Hey guys, this is Ishai Breslauer and welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. On Mondays, we dive deep into an asset class, and on Thursdays, we go into some inspirational stories for the weekend. Can't wait to start. Let's go. Hey guys, before we continue, I would like to introduce you to the 7-Day CRE Challenge, which will introduce you to commercial real estate and will show you that anyone can do this. Also, I have the free cheat sheet for commercial real estate with the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. You can download it free. Just click below or above, wherever it is, and get it. Let's continue. Hey guys, how are you? This is Ishai Breslauer, your host of the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss our favorite commercial real estate. And today we have a very special guest, Ken Van Loo. And so many things we're going to talk about today. You guys, we're going to blow you away. Ken, by the way, is the author of The Modern Building Formula, How to Master Real Estate Investment. And he is also a CEO and a president of many, many, many things that are related to commercial real estate. He's going to tell us all about it, I'm assuming. But first of all, Ken, thank you so much for your time and thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Ishai, it's my pleasure, you know, that you could, you know, have me from your home there, and just nice to be able to talk to you from around the world, and it's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Amazing. For two people who are actually dealing with the Brooklyn real estate or elsewhere, we'll have a lot to talk about. And you know what, before we start, because I want to hear your story, but before we start with your story, tell us what you do today, like a sort of a 2-minute elevator pitch so everybody can understand who Ken is. And then we'll start digging into your stuff.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I first and foremost, I'm a father, and I've been married to the same woman for 38 years. Just blessed, Terry Van Loo. She's my soulmate. But 3 wonderful kids, entrepreneur at heart, professional civil engineer, you know, from training, and site safety manager in New York City, learned how to build skyscrapers a long time ago. But my day in the life of Ken Van Loo is really helping people to their greatness and leaving them with more power and freedom and self-expression, peace of mind. And, you know, my day job, I guess you can say, is I'm developing some extraordinary properties. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the Larson's Turkey Farm in Chester, New Jersey. It's a 28-acre development. We have a CVS pharmacy going in there, some affordable housing. You know, there's such needs in the affordable housing. We have market rate housing. We have 20,000 square feet of office building. Really, really excited about that project. We just secured a residential site down in the New Brunswick area, New Jersey. It's going to be 18 to 24 units, going through some conceptual planning. I have another 28 acres. We just landed in Little Egg Harbor. So very active in the real estate development. And then in my spare time, you know, in my passion in helping people to their greatness, is we are very proud to present the launching of the Global Real Estate Investment Academy, which is an educational platform where people can just take, you know, their whole real estate investing journey to another whole level.
Beautiful. You just gave me material of 8 hours of talk. That's amazing.
let me get comfortable here. I wore shorts, got my golf shirt on, you know, so I'm ready to go, baby. Let's do it.
You got it. It's amazing. You know, before we even start digging into all these fantastic stuff that you spoke about, because just, you know, the enthusiasm for real estate, I can see it coming out of you. And you spoke about different asset classes you're involved in. This is just exciting just to talk about. But, you know, before we dig into all that, then let's pace ourselves for a second.
Sure.
I know you're not 22, meaning you just disclosed that by saying how many years you married and having kids, et cetera, et cetera. And how did you get into this whole thing called real estate? How did that start?
Great question. So I was 17 years old, and my little league coach gave me a job working for the Soil Conservation Service, and I was in charge of a major dam rehabilitation. It was a huge project, machines driving by me, moving dirt, pouring concrete, and I learned how to test concrete and surveying. And I guess it was my first seed of building, right? I really didn't know anything about building, but I was watching things being constructed. And from that summer job, it led to a job where I, you know, was drafting 1 year for the Department of Transportation. And then it led to another job working for the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey in an internship. And during all this time, I wasn't the smartest tool in the shed. You know, I was on what I call as the 6-year college plan. And, you know, I played football for a few years. Fortunately, I met my wife in calculus too, taking it for the third time. You know, she helped me, you know, get through it. And then I ended up transferring to engineering school to New Jersey Institute of Technology. And when I graduated, I won the Senior Design Award, and it was the design of a 13-acre property. And it planted a seed like, hey, maybe one day I can do real estate. But I had been trained as a civil engineer, and I was told, you know, go get your license, become a civil engineer. And I went down that journey, and I put the development on the side, and I couldn't pass my PE test. I actually, you know, wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, as I said. So it took me 5 times to pass that. And during that period of, I think it was 3 years, because you had to get 4 years of experience and take the test, I had rose the ranks in construction in New York City. I was making a decent buck. And when I finally passed the test to become a PE, you know, I couldn't turn back. So here I'm in construction, building skyscrapers. You probably know MetroTech in Brooklyn. I was fortunate to build a few buildings at MetroTech there. And one day I was standing on top of the Brooklyn Union Gas headquarters, looking out at Manhattan. I was 31 years old. I had twins, and I really couldn't afford, you know, my lifestyle at that point, you know. And I said, I have to get involved in real estate. And it was when I went home and told my wife I was going to quit my job and start a company and go out in real estate. And that's how it started, you know, and it goes on from there, you know. Great story on how I raised my first money and everything, you know.
It's amazing. And you know what? Going to this part of starting a new company, and thank God your wife was, you know, with you all the way. But let me ask you this. We understand what drove you to do that. How was the beginning? What was the first? Tell us about the first, very first project you went into.
Yeah, and how was that? I'll tell you the fun parts, and I'll tell you about the sleepless nights, you know, when you're not paying yourself. And the way it started was pretty cool. You know, I had a lot of sleepless nights because I realized that if I could ever develop my own property, there was 9 ways to pay myself fees. And since I didn't have a lot of equity, I figured if I could just get a hold of a property and put it together. And that came about from a thought. I failed my PE test 5 times, and I'm going there to get my transcripts. I finally passed and get my license. And I said, you know, let me go over to the Rutgers Library and look up real estate, you know. And I find this book on syndication. I wasn't even sure what syndication was at that point. But, you know, I had a story about syndication and how I was going to raise money and buy property. And, you know, I had this plan in my head. And my wife, coincidentally, tells me that there's this golf outing that her mother-in-law, you know, his company was having. And I go to this golf outing, believe it or not. And, you know, I had just, believe it or not, left my job with the plan that if I joined the country club, I could raise money to secure this property. So I go out and I lock up a property. I'm telling my story at the country club in my 4th round to this guy on how I'm going to build real estate, et cetera. He goes, you know what? I'll lend you $100,000. So I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm playing in this golf outing. I didn't even like expect to be there. And you know, I'm daydreaming, like maybe I could do this one day. And sure enough, this guy says he's going to lend me money. And I go tell my wife I'm going to, you know, quit my job and live off $5,000 a month. And she says I'm crazy. And I had this taxation filtration system in my head. And I went on to do presentation at the country club, raise over $1.6 million. And my first project was a $14.2 million assisted living that I developed in Bridgewater, New Jersey. It was 113 beds, 90 units. And I came out of the box in real estate, like full tilt right into development. And amazing. I really didn't even know how to buy real estate then. I just was like, that's what I knew. And I had to build a building as fast as I could and I did it. And then I kind of figured out, oh, wow, you know, the investors are going to get paid now and here's the revenues. And I kind of brought people in to kind of help me figure it out. And then it just grew from there, you know.
But tell me something, how did you manage to secure a loan? A guy kind of comes obviously with experience with construction, but,
yes.
And you got this $100,000 so you could start something up. And then he went and raised the other million point four, whatever it was. But then you have the financing, you have the debt. How'd you get that?
I tell you,
as a beginner,
another great question. So I figured out that because I had secured a certificate in need to build an assisted living, that the new, and I started looking at the Housing Finance and Mortgage Authority. It's a state agency. And then I looked into New Jersey Economic Development Agency. And I went to the New Jersey EDA and they said that they would fund the deal. So I pulled off two maneuvers. One, to raise the money to do the deal, I did a municipal bond sale and it was like a machine. They just said, okay, hire these six law firms, do this. They're going to sell the municipal bonds. You'll raise the money. And there was this whole thing about prevailing wage. So I actually had the money financed through the HMFA and then taken out by New Jersey EDA. And I pulled off this thing where literally 10%, New Jersey A plunked on like another $3 million on top of the 14.2. They loaned $17 million. It had money to stabilize. And I was off and running. I hired Meridian Healthcare Systems to manage the facility. I opened it up and boom, that was it. Cut the ribbon.
That's
in
amazing.
Like 15 months.
But tell me just last question about this crazy beginning. When you got into this whole thing, why assisted living? Why was that the first project? Why not, let's say, for example, just a condo development, straightforward? Why something that is a bit more complex in the asset class, you know, museum?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think God may have brought me there because, you know, like my experience doing the assisted living led to a geriatrics facility that led to, oh, I don't want to be in the assisted living business, so let me sell that asset. And what happened, to be quite honest with you, I fell into it. So here I tell the story where, you know, I'm golfing and this guy lends me $100,000 and I'm like, okay, I got to go find a deal. I'm going to pay myself $5,000 a month for 12 months. I'm going to use whatever I can to lock up my first deal. I'm just going to get a deal. So here, you know, I'm a builder. So who am I going to talk to? I don't know a lot of realtors. I start talking to architects and engineers. And this, you know, this friend of mine says, you know, call this Gabe Kalenda. So I'm talking to this Gabe Kalenda and he's telling me about all his projects. And I'm like, do you know anybody that has any deals? He's like, call this dentist. So I call this dentist in Bridgewater and I go meet with him. And he says, you know, I own this office complex and in the back I have 6 acres, you know, you can do assisted living. I'm like, you know, what is it? And he's like, well, assisted living, you know, you assist people. It's a step before nursing homes. I'm like, okay, I got that. He goes, I have a certificate of need. I'm like, what's that? He goes, that's a document from the state that says I can build 113 beds. I'm like, really? That's it? That's simple. I can build that. I literally hand wrote an LOI right there with the terms that if I get the approval, he would transfer the development rights. I made a deal per bed, $10,000 a bed. So if I got more beds, he'd make more money. And he signed the deal with me and boom, I was off and running. I literally signed a development agreement with myself for 5% of a projected budget of like $14 million, started paying myself $27,000 a month. And I was in business. I opened up an office in Jersey City at Five Corners at the top of the Liberty Savings Union and the Triangle office. And I was ready to rock and roll.
I love that story. I just love that story.
So thank you.
It's beautiful. Now, fast forwarding, you dealt with so many asset classes. What would you say today is your primary asset class that you're going to look for, like deals that you're looking for today? What is the main thing that you're going after? Then we're going to talk about the other asset classes, the main stuff first.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's ever like what I'm going after because we go in with a very open mind. Like on the 28 acres I just received, you know, my vision, I'm going to, it's kind of carved into three lots almost because there's a road that separates it going into a housing development and a golf course. and there's a CAFR requirement where you can only develop on 50% of the land. But I'm envisioning, because it's kind of separated, a little residential, a self-storage, flex office, medical office, Starbucks on the corner, feed the medical office with urgent care, and to go in there, because my strategy is get the approval, sell off enough pads to pay my nut, then I get everything else for free. And, you know, I pick and choose on what I want to develop. The asset classes that I say I don't necessarily specialize in, you know, I'll look for someone to take it off my hands, you know, like in Chester. You know, I'm not in the restaurant business, so that pad's for sale, you know, but I am in the commercial office building, you know, in the medical office, and we'll consider that. You know, there are some challenges now. Like, I have a $2.5 million deal from Wawa that I wish the city would say okay to, you know, because I would plunk that, you know, in on the lot right away. But you know, we go in. So I guess to answer your question, I'm always looking for residential. I'm really excited, you know, about self-storage. Flex office has caught my attention lately because it helps contractors and people that kind of need, you know, the storage, a little bit higher ceiling, but have like that retail feel in the front. And that's the kind of stuff I've been dabbling with, you know, because retail's, you know, essentially been hammered over the years, and
right.
Commercial office right now. I mean, who knows? I drove by 2 vacant office buildings yesterday, down in the Shore area. And I'm just like, wow, well, what are they going to do with that site? You know? So it's, something that guys like you and I have to disrupt and figure out what we're doing here, you know, in some of those challenge sites.
You're a classic opportunist. I love it. And basically, I mean, you can't label a guy, especially in commercial real estate, but I would say you're a mixed use developer classic when you find an opportunity and you would say, okay, this one I'll do myself. This one I can delegate. This one I can get someone to come in and do it a build to suit, whatever it is. And, right. I could see that you're going through all those directions, and that's very cool and very exciting. Tell us a little bit about your operation today. You obviously started in that little corner many years ago, going for that assisted living facility. Today, it's a different story, thank God. Tell us about where you are today, what type of operation you're running today in general, and to give us a little bit of excitement about that.
Yeah. So, you know, my operation's pretty lean and mean. You know, I've learned to source a lot out, you know, through incentivizing. You know, my organization is probably about a dozen. And then we have, you know, a little, team of, I call it like the field crew, you know, that kind of takes care of the buildings, et cetera, and handymen and things like that. You know, my group, we, you know, have like 24 medical office buildings. So there's always, you know, tenant fit outs, et cetera. You know, I'm more on the development side. So, you know, day in the life is getting approvals or getting ready to get some construction loans, breaking ground. But, you know, after, you know, building 1500 units in the city and 3 million square feet, I had a concrete company in 2016.
Wow.
I built for Steiner Studios. I built for the big developer, the Interstate. Iron State in Hoboken. So we did a bunch of units, and I was just working too hard. You know, I wanted to get back into the development. I then founded a company called Flipping USA. I wanted to test the modern wealth building formula in residential. And in 1 year, we did 137 deals. We stormed the auctions in 8 counties. And every week, you know, I had a very aggressive team of what I call them analytical managers and field reconnaissance teams that we would look at sometimes 100 deals in a day. And then we would, you know, do this all by Facebook Live and groups. And then the guy walking into the auction would get the bid, and he would place the bid, and we'd buy properties. And, you know, it's just been a really cool ride, just kind of mixing it up and seeing how I can impact as many people as possible. You know, I found that if I kept just building a skyscraper in New York City, yeah, I can impact thousands of people. But if I write a book called The Modern Wealth Building Formula, How to Master Real Estate Investing, and then I show people on how it actually applies to every single business in the world, right? Because the Modern Wealth Building Formula works for, you know, for real estate, and building a $100 million project is like building a business. So, you know, after I wrote it, I was like, wow, this really applies to everybody. And, you know, there's a lot of Tony Robbins stuff in there. You know, I walked on fire, climbed on telephone poles, climbed up, stood on top of telephone poles, did crazy stuff like that. And, you know, I'm here to pay it forward, because, you know, without telling the story and my struggles, you know, with drugs and alcohol when I was growing up, and, you know, all kinds of stuff, just, you know, where I had to straighten my head out and, you know, I clean up the mess, you know.
That's amazing. Not only clean up the mess, but build an empire. And I love the fact a lot of guys that do real estate, especially in the real estate business, keeping it lean and keeping it, you know, with a few people that are close to them, smaller offices, but outsourcing to the mass, you know, to the generic CMs, GCs, et cetera, and they have it all out there going for them. I want to ask you a question before, and we're going to talk about your book. We're going to talk a little bit about that aspect also in a second. But beforehand, if you could give us a little bit of a glimpse, because you've been there long enough to go through the 2008 recession, yes, and also the COVID. If you could talk a little bit about what happened to you in 2008, and I'm sure something was there. How do you manage this whole thing? This will be very interesting to hear.
Yeah, this is, you know, this story may choke me up a little bit, but, you know, like, you know, there was some tough times. You know, my first tough time was when the towers collapsed. You know, I was with Tony Robbins, thank God. You know, and I was able to overcome. I had bought Bay Street Landing in Staten Island and was in Hawaii celebrating when the towers collapsed. So that was my first spot where I lost a lot of money. And then,
Wait a second. So you were in Staten Island or in Hawaii? I don't understand.
I was in Hawaii. The property that I had bought was in Staten Island on the waterfront facing the World Trade Center.
Oh, wow.
I was in Hawaii with Tony Robbins at a Life Mastery event celebrating
Amazing. My
waterfront property, looking out at the Trade Center to watch the thing collapse. That was the first time we took a major hit, which we came back strong. But then 2008, to be perfectly honest with you, I thought I was having a heart attack that day, or what building did I want to jump off of? Because we were partners with Lehman Brothers. Wow. And we lost $300 million in one day. Wow. And I was at the top of the world. We had just finished developing 240 Park Avenue. Tom Brady, you know, the star quarterback, you know, came to my office with Giselle. They wanted to buy the penthouse. We had just kind of cashed out with that. We bought the toy building. We were erecting steel, changing the penthouse. We bought St. Vincent's Hospital. And we had a whole city block on 6th Avenue, literally between 34th and 32nd. It was two city blocks almost. And it all vaporized in one day. You know, we had mezzanine loans with Lehman of in excess of $300 million and pretty much lost everything. You know,
wow.
It was shocking, because the trickle down effect after that, you know, 500 projects stopped in the city. I had a massive transition in my life, and it probably all happened for a reason, because it's when I had to call someone and say, hey, do you got some work? And I went to work for a guy, you know, he hired KJV Development at the time to finish building 1055 Park Avenue, Trevor Davis. And I went and finished a glass building. I call it a fishbowl, on the corner of 88th and Park Avenue. And I stayed afloat. And I don't know, I was making, you know, I was charging maybe 15 grand a month, but I went from like gazillionaire to like, you know, getting a job. And, you know, I went through some serious challenges for probably 3 years where, you know, I didn't really know what to do. I was trying to buy Stewart's root beer. I was trying to go into the car Simonizing business. And then in 2012, I landed a brownstone in Brooklyn, which kind of kicked in a couple dollars. And then I actually went and worked with a guy who had a CM company in New York. And we went on to do $300 million in construction management work. And we opened up a concrete company. and it was called Tower Concrete. I ended up building 300 units for other developers in 2015 and 16, and doing the concrete thing. And I was like, you know, this isn't what I really want in life, because I can't reach more than, you know, 5,000 people. Yeah, I'm going to change a couple streets in Manhattan, change the waterfront and all that crap, but that doesn't mean anything in the real heart of the matter. Like, you're going to, if you're going to touch and create more power, freedom, self-expression, and peace of mind in everybody you meet, you got to go out there and meet 1 million people. So that's one. In 17, I was like, okay, wow, I'm going to write this book. And then, you know, by 2018, I wrote through 2018, 2019, we published a book. And by that time I said, you know what, I want to go back into the development for myself again, because it had been several years. And, you know, I went from developing my first project in New Jersey to, you know, I always needed more and more and more and more and more, to go back to New York City, to then get slapped down, to just, you know, go do a bunch of homes, write a book, and figure out how I can impact the world, you know, in that sense. And that's where it really comes down to.
You know what? That's an amazing story. And everybody, you know, I've been on Clubhouse lately. You know, you know Clubhouse. You heard about it.
Sure.
And yes. I'm a new guy to Clubhouse, because also I have an Android. I never knew being an Android is a thing. And I went to Clubhouse every now and then. It's not something I do often. I went on, and a lot of the talk there was like people who made it. At a certain point, I told them, you know what? We make it, and then things go the other way also. You know, it happens too. You know, it's not like, oh, when it's roses, it's all roses from that point forever. It doesn't work that way many times. Many times you could hit, you know, I just had on the show a friend of mine, Jack Dweck. You're welcome to go in here. And he had a book, 6 Ways of Overcoming Adversity. And he lost tens of millions of dollars in 2008. And he made it back. But, you know, when he went through it, it taught him about life. And you went through a very, very, very similar thing.
Yes.
This is not easy. This is not easy. And building yourself back again, a lot of people gave up on that, especially after getting hit so hard, especially, you know, you're talking about Lehman Brothers. We all know the story of Lehman Brothers, but nobody knows the story of the people who worked with Lehman Brothers, who were partnered in partnership with Lehman Brothers, like yourself.
So it was hard.
So many, exactly, trickle down story. So listen, what I want to ask you is, how was that different from COVID? And we're going to touch the book in a second. I really want to dwell into it. But before we get in there, last thing about you, in terms of the 2000, and not 2008, in terms of the COVID recession, meaning we had a crazy year. How did that work for you? And when it hit, what did you go through? And how do you see us coming out of it right now?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, I truly believe I dodged a couple bullets, just in the sense that, you know, the portfolio in New York, you know, was always a condo model where we would sell off, you know, so, you know, I didn't get stuck with, you know, thousands of employees, you know, not being able to pay the rent. So I was fortunate on that side. On the commercial side, you know, we're very medical office orientated. So it seemed that even though, you know, we made a lot of deals, we reduced some rents, most people paid their rents in our office buildings, because it seemed like the medical industry didn't get hit as hard, and people still had to come to work, you know, like the administrative sides were hit. And it just seemed like, I don't know if it was, you know, maybe here I'm here, you know, to not, you know, get hurt a third time so I could bring this forward, you know, but it seemed like, you know, we were in the phase of doing a lot of entitlement work. So, you know, even though that process like slowed down and you couldn't figure out how to send drawings to the planning board, it wasn't like the end of the world. You know, people were still having Zoom meetings. We were having meetings that were called focus groups on Friday afternoon. So, you know, we got to meet new people, we were presenting our plans, we were able to make changes. So I actually, you know, was more trying to help my, you know, my I guess I'd call it my ecosystem, for people that were like, you know, my building just like dropped freaking $10 million or my hospitality business, you know, just tanked, you know, friends that had restaurants on the water that were like, you know, well, you know, it's going to be 75 to 100 grand just to start the engine again, you know? And, you know, these were people that, you know, I was trying to keep from, you know, jumping off the edge because, you know, I had been through that, you know, and, you know, somebody was, you know, was blessing me to give me a break this time so that I could help the people that maybe went through what I went through in 2008. You know, I'm not sure the exact answer, but, you know, I was fortunate to get through COVID with not too many bruises. You know, I mean, my daughter lost her job. You know, my family was affected in some instances, but, you know, as you know, being a leader, like we keep moving people forward, right? So the next part of that question is, you know, kind of how do we come out of it, right? So, the dust is still settling, right? You know, there's a lot of, you know, protections going on. I think there's a lot of landlords in trouble. I think there's, you know, the whole question, you know, is there going to be integrity? You know, what's the real NOI? You know, what's the real value? You know, like all the, you know, residential properties right now, I believe are, you know, being illusioned a bit, you know, in the sense of value. You know, people are in a bidding war, you know, everything's high. I don't necessarily think there's going to be a crash. I think there's going to be a new set point, but things will drop, you know, so you're hearing people, you know, paying, you know, above what properties are worth. I don't know that they're necessarily ever going to get that back. You know, and I'm rambling a little bit here, but coming out of this, you know, there's a lot of different variables in the equation. You know, I think, you know, we could sit here, like you said, and talk about each of the sectors. You know, retail, I think, you know, was hit hard, and they've been repositioning, you know, in the internet space, and, you know, a lot of them just capitalizing like the old brick and mortar. You know, it's really just now kind of like a showpiece. But I think, you know, a lot of transition is happening there. You know, the larger retail, you know, I think, you know, it could be taken over by a lot of the mass storage requirements that are necessary. I'm not quite sure, you know, if the malls in those areas will have the residential demands that could call for that. You know, I think industrial continues to boom, you know, so each of the markets, I guess what I'm coming at, will have their own strategy on their own strategy to come out of the COVID, you know, challenges that they've had. And I know I'm 100%. All over the place a little bit. So why don't I turn the mic back over to you? Cause I'm good at hijacking the call.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm very interested in everything you say. And, you know, when you find someone with great energy and your amazing story, there's a lot to learn from. And I love to hear every word. What I want to do is shift gears a little bit. And there's another part of you, and we're talking about the book now. You know, as you say, it takes one to know one, right? And I'm also a part of me is an educator. Meaning I used to be a teacher many years ago and pivoted, basically became a real estate guy. During COVID, used those teaching skills actually to record myself when I was stuck at home. And I made a whole thing. I have a whole set of courses, online courses that I created for commercial real estate for people who want to start a career there, et cetera, et cetera. Mostly for people who are either, you know, want to upgrade themselves or young people want to get into it and all that stuff. So everyone who does the same stuff or educating people and want to give back and want to have that kind of a format and that kind of a, how do you say, another side of their life to go and give others. I'm very excited about that. Tell us a little bit about your system, your book, how you help others. Let's start with your book for a second. Obviously it's a podcast medium also. We're showing it now. I'm telling the people who are not seeing it. And Ken is actually showing the book, Modern Living, again, Modern Building. Show me again. Modern Wealth Building Formula, how to Master Real Estate Investing. And that is the book, by the way. Ken, tell us about the book. Obviously we understand now what got you to start writing it. You told us, but let's get into it a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what the book is about.
Yeah. You know, I guess if I were to keep it simple, you know, it's about my journey and how, you know, I ultimately learned how to find, fund, and facilitate real estate investing. And, you know, part of that was created through my experience playing sports. I was an all-state football player.
Oh, wow.
And you heard me mention a few times on, you know, how I struggled in education, but there was a certain point where I said, wow, if I can apply my gridiron football skills to education and applying myself, you know, this could really make a difference, you know. And, you know, when I started, you know, applying those skills, it really made a difference, you know. And you're going to have to remind me the question again, because I just broke my pattern telling you about football.
No, the question is about the book. Tell us a little bit about it. What's in the book? I love the fact that you did so many things in your life.
Yeah, so I'll tell you. So the football story brings the book back, and I had it right in front of me. But, you know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I'll tell you that. But, yeah.
You can't say that anymore. Not a guy who built a business, came back. You know, had a whole hit in 2008, came back again, and now is teaching others. You know what? Everybody, you know, a lot of people who are entrepreneurs or have that type of mindset, they say that about themselves, but they forget to say that also years after. I, for example, as a kid, I was struggling with learning a little bit, but later became a teacher who actually taught that stuff, meaning I taught Jewish studies. So I couldn't say anymore. I was struggling. I was now teaching kids. So you're not struggling anymore. You have to understand that you're moving out of that, and especially building businesses like yourself.
There you go. And you know, I love learning every day, and that's a distinction, because, you know, we have you know, self-deprecation or whatever it is, you know. But yeah, definitely. But you know, with that gridiron experience, you know, it gave me the discipline. So when I wrote the book, it was kind of like around a game thinking, like, you know, there's a pregame warm-up. You know, you have to, you know, get your mindset, you know, you have to be very clear on your vision and your goals, you know, and then you have to have a system to move forward on how you're going to find fun and facilitate that system. So it starts with a pregame. And then as you enter the lineup, you know, you could be the leadoff hitter. You can be more of like a cleanup guy who hits the home run. So you're starting off in the lineup at a certain place, and just understanding where you're at and where you can grow in the lineup is a little bit of the thinking. And then it really just shows you, you know, on how being successful is not only about understanding real estate, but it's a little bit about personal mastery and, you know, process mastery, understanding the different processes and learning how to influence people. So there's a combination of all of the above, and the book touches upon that. And then it tells, you know, on how you can earn fees and get started in investing, and a little bit about the syndication process. And, you know, at 200 pages, I said, I better stop, because, you know, that's enough for them to read, and we can help facilitate them after that. But yeah, that's what the book is a little bit all about. And then, you know, we started taking it to the new level with the Global Real Estate Investment Academy, where you learn about the modern wealth building formula, you learn about the financial freedom protocol that we have related to residential real estate. And we also have Real Estate Development Made Simple is another one of our programs. And that's all part of the Global Real Estate Investment Academy.
Okay, let's break it down a little bit, because that's very exciting. Let's break it down. So the book gives them a little bit of, I would call a little bit of everything. Sounds like, meaning that's what I understood from you right now. Tell me if I'm wrong. But get a little bit of everything, some inspiration about your story, and some ideas of what is investing, what is real estate, syndication, and a bunch of stuff there. And then you have all these formulas that you've created in your academy. Tell us a little bit about the academy in terms of the different type of things that I just mentioned. Let's take it layer by layer so people can understand. We have a lot of beginners also listening, so they can understand how they can educate themselves. I always explain my system. I want you to explain your system so people can learn from it.
Yeah, exactly. So once upon a time in 2008, when I lost all that money with Lehman Brothers, I didn't tell you, but I'm also a magician. So I've been doing magic since I was a kid. And I started doing trade show magic in order to get my head out of my rear, because I was pretty depressed at that time. And I met a magician who taught me, who said, create a course called 8-Figure Deals with No Money Down, because that's what I had done, you know. So I had created eight-figure deals with no money down, which is now called Real Estate Development Made Simple. But when I created that course, it was really at the highest level of real estate. It was only touching like 3% of the people. And I said, I really want to create a full gamut of real estate. And I started to say, you know, I'm going to create the Real Estate Master University, which is going to actually come out in the first quarter of 2022. Then I created Financial Freedom Protocol, which is introduction to residential real estate, how to start and accelerate your residential real estate and business. Then we have the Modern Wealth Building Formula, which shows you how to do any kind of real estate, how to find, fund, and facilitate the real estate. And then we have Real Estate Development Made Simple, where if you want to take it to a whole nother level, where, you know, you can get properties, old buildings, vacant buildings, you have a full spectrum, which I blanketed, which what I call is the Global Real Estate Investment Academy. So if you join in on the academy, you get all of the programs, you get all of my education. When, you know, when the Real Estate Master University comes out in 2022, that gets dropped into your library. And, you know, it's a one-year program where we just work together towards the outcome, because, you know, my goal is to help people get to their greatness, and it's all about outcome, you know.
It's amazing, you know, especially from a guy who went through Tony Robbins and was you know, highly inspired by greats and wants to pay forward. Now that you're dealing actually with teaching others, is it online, is it frontal, is it people come to you, how does it work?
Yeah, you know, I really don't advertise. You know, I do some free training on YouTube, but the best way for people to find out is I offer, because it's very tailored. Nothing is cookie cutter with me. So I do a personalized training where it's only with 12 people or less. You know, I know everybody in the group, and really it starts out with a free strategy session where you get to talk to me on the phone. I'm not that hard to get in touch with. And you go to kendanlew.com. And there's a discover how. And when you go on that, you know, you could actually watch a short video on what the Modern Wealth Building Formula is all about. And if you want to talk to me, you actually schedule with me and I will call you and we'll talk about what you're trying to do and what your strategy is in real estate. And when you get off that call, I promise you, you'll be jacked up and you will, we'll have, gotten some more power, freedom, self-expression, and peace of mind.
That's amazing. That sounds exciting. We're going to go, obviously people will be able to find the links below or above. We'll get to that in a second when we wrap it up. But beforehand, I just wanted to ask you about your book again. Do you mostly speak about, because, you know, it's like a big thing out there in the world with people want to get into real estate. And that's why I'm always focusing on the commercial side of things, commercial real estate, which includes not only retail, hotels, industrial, mixed-use development or development, whatever, but also multifamily. Multifamily on, you know, if you have 150 units, it's also in the realm of commercial real estate. It's a different deal. Do you speak about mostly the commercial side of things or multifamily and stuff like that? Or you also speak about, in your book, you speak about the residential single-family homes, which is something that I'm not in touch with, but a lot of people are very excited about.
Yes, I do. And the book actually goes into the whole commercial versus residential. It also talks about the different flavors of all the different types of markets.
It
talks about special projects, residential. It touches upon how to literally do residential investing using other people's money and using the formula, which a lot of people look at wholesaling, for example, and they say, well, you know, you can do wholesaling without any other people's money. And I'm like, yeah, you can. But if you want to scale a wholesaling business, trust me when I tell you, I've been there, you will run out of money, or you'll be in situations where you don't have the money to buy when you have to buy. Like, there's nothing worse than going to an auction to buy property and you don't have enough money to buy a property, you know? So, you know, the first thing we did with our auctions was like, we need to have a buying capacity of $1 million in each of the auctions or we're short-sighting ourselves. And, you know, that's really the key. And a lot of young beginners, yes, you can do a wholesale and I'm not frowning upon it, but think about if you had someone that lent you $100,000 and, you know, you could buy property a lot easier and you were sharing the wealth with him, in the long run, you know, you're getting a tremendous rate of return, in some cases in the 100% returns. And there's, you know, there's nothing to sneeze at about that. You know, why not take a rate of return on your money that's in the hundreds and share the win with somebody else? And that's how you pay it forward.
Incredible. When now that we're getting to the end of the show, I just want to like sort of sum it all up, because it's a very interesting, you're a very interesting guy who has done a lot of stuff and is now giving others and so on. You know what? Give us a few tips for people who want to get in. What are the most important skills, if you could name 3 or 4 skills that a person needs to become a real estate guy on a serious scale? I'm not talking about a mega scale. I'm not talking about a single family home, smaller deals. I'm talking about someone who makes a career out of this. Give us a 3 or 4 skills that you think are key to make it.
Yes. That's a great question. So I just was taking a note here on the 3 things that came to mind at first. So the one thing that I used to say, I remember since I was a young man, when I landed my first job as a super, now being a super on a New York City skyscraper, you know, the men start work at 7 o'clock. So if you want a man to do something on that day, he's usually getting in the hoist around 6:40. You got to be talking to his foreman at like 6 o'clock in the morning, which meant that I had to be up like a little bit before 5, get through the tunnel by 5:30, Holland Tunnel, so that I could be in Brooklyn by 6 o'clock to hit the shanties, is what we called them. You know, I would go talk to all the foremen and go, you know what, you need to put 2 guys on floor 32 today because I need to get this thing done. So what I'm saying is I think the morning routine is probably the biggest key. Now today, you know, back then, you know, I was fighting for survival, so I'd wake up and run out the door. But, you know, I wake up every day and I, you know, I have a little get ready of 30 minutes and then I move for 50 minutes, some type of exercise. My metabolic age is 34 when I step on a scale, but I'm 59 and I weigh 172 pounds. And at one time I was 246. So my morning routine where I, you know, I pray, I work out, I then meditate, I then fuel my body. The pre-morning routine, I believe, is the key. And wake up a little earlier, because if you wake up, you know, 1 hour earlier each day, that's 356 extra hours or 365 extra hours. If you divide that by 40, that's about like, you know, 6 or 8 extra weeks that you'll have that year that you will create tremendous, tremendous stuff. The next thing that I would say is mentorship. You know, I can't say enough, you know, how much I got from Tony Robbins or from this guy, John Norris, who built Battery Park in New York City. And before that, he built Canary Wharf in London. And then he was hired by Forest City Ratner to build Metrotech. And I was fortunate to be the super and then the project manager on Metrotech, a $1 billion project. But it was really the mentorship that would always like, Ken, you know, great job. You're doing great. Like, you know, I just always believed that I could go to the top and be, you know, the president of any company. And then really the key is, you know, is time blocking is like super, super huge, right? So if someone has a goal that they want to achieve in 5 years, you have to figure out what time you have to block today. Like literally block, like, I mean, you know, phone shut off, no disturbances, that you're blocking time today for 2 hours to work on what you want to achieve 5 years down the road, because it takes a while. And the problem is people, you know, lose their consistency, they get discouraged, they quit. And, you know, the last thing I'll leave with you, which is something, is just, you know, never, ever give up and always, always keep your dreams alive.
Incredible. That was a great, 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 great interview. I love it. I love every second.
Yeah, it really was.
You know what? Before we say goodbyes to everybody here, tell us first of all how we find your book. Where is it? Where could it be found? Don't forget that some people can't. You know, they're listeners on a podcast format. How can they find the book and your account and everything else and your links?
Yeah.
And also, don't forget that people want to do business with you. So, you know, if you raise capital, if you're looking at deals. where's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, you know, we have great deals. Good point. We have great deals. If you guys want to invest money, you know, my company is Global Real Estate Strategies. You know, we're located in New Jersey, New York. You know, you can Google me at any time. But the best way to get in touch with me is go to kenvanloo.com and go through that strategy session. If you don't want to watch the video, you want to just do business with me, bypass the video. It'll schedule a call. You know, a few things, right? The strategy session and the book is available. Well, the book number one is available for you listeners in Audible. So you can get it on Audible. I think it's like $1.99 or something. You can buy it on Amazon if you wanted a book, or even if you go to my website, my book is given away for free. I think you have to pay for shipping and you have to go to the author page. So you have to search a little bit. But yeah, if you want to, the easiest way to find me, get in touch with me, just go to kenvanloo.com and, you know, schedule an appointment, you know.
Kenvanloo.com, right? Is that correct?
That's it. That's
awesome. Beautiful. You guys heard it. If you want to find Ken, and I'm sure you do want to, kenvanloo.com. And as he said, if you want something more educational, you can watch the video. And if you just want to reach out to Ken, and possibly do business together, just skip that, reach out to him, and I'm sure you will not be disappointed, as I was not today. This was a great story and great stuff to listen to. Ken, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, absolutely, Isa. Thank you so much.
No problem. And you guys, I'm going to see you in the next show. Check out the links above, below, wherever. I'll see you in the next show. Take care. Hey guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.